Craft Beer Radio, episode 534, on April 25th, 2026. Shannon, how many times have you listened to this album since Thursday?
I don't want to admit, at least 10 today.
All right. Alone. This is Noah Kahan's new album. She's been waiting for it for quite some time. And it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I've listened to it twice. I listened to it on the way home, actually. So
oh, nice. Yeah. Very happy.
Speaking of happy.
From Greg's house.
Speaking of happy. I need to give a shout out to my beautiful, wonderful daughter-in-law and say happy birthday, Maylee.
Happy birthday, Maylee.
Happy birthday, Maylee. I'm going to give you a hug the next time we see, and you can cringe, as you always do.
What's this beer you have for us, Jeff?
This is an oldie but a goodie, Allagash White out of Portland, Maine. Thank you very much. Do you want some more?
I overpoured mine. You definitely did.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, this is just our normal, like, working in the shop beers that we have right now. Seemed like a good one to kick off with. I mean, it's Allagash White, so usually it's hard to find a better wit beer.
5.2% on this one. They have a special blend of coriander and curacao orange peel that they use for this. Is there any, it's a can, is there any dregs in the bottom?
Yeah. Usually, so with Hefeweizens, it's usually good to add the yeasty bits, but with wit beers, we find that it's usually not as good to add the yeasty bits. So I just poured some yeasty bits into my glass. See? Yay.
Yay. Yeah, that's mit Hef or not mit
Hef. Yeah, mit is with. So yeah. Mit Hef, yeah. Belgian wit beer is a classic style that was extinct for a while.
Yeah.
Hoegaarden wasn't brewing it. And a guy named Pierre Sellis was working there, and he kind of revived it from the pages of history.
And it really became a good, like, it was a, what is it, a bridge beer, I think, for a lot of people. Because they started, like Shock Top and
Blue Moon. Blue Moon was an early big company, flavorful, crafty beer. Mm-hmm. It was called a crafty beer. I remember the first time I had Blue Moon, I hated it. I just wasn't ready for kind of the coriander and wheat flavors. Mm-hmm. It tasted like chalk or cement in my mouth. I remember not liking it at all, but I was also in high school. So
yeah. Yeah. It's not a, well, if you're thinking it's going to taste like the beer that I'm used to, it's not, it has, yeah, like you said, these wildly different estery compounds that they're going to totally. Yeah. I can totally see this being.
So for the longest time, you might remember back when we were doing the show, we did the kind of the,
we're still doing the show
back when we were doing the show and we kind of did the blindfolded or blind wheat beer. And I was shocked how high Blue Moon ranked in our rankings. And it just shows, I think I had a bias from that time when I was in high school, especially cause I had it, but I never really had it again. I don't think, not much. But then I had good wit beers like Hoegaarden, Sellis White, Allagash. And I'm like, oh, these are way better than Blue Moon. And then I had a Blue Moon blind and it ranked like second or something.
Yeah.
Maybe first. I don't know.
It could have been really fresh. That could have been also, you know, that was not something that we were really keeping track of in the early days of the show.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. So, I mean, we haven't talked about the beer. Do you want to talk about the beer at all?
I mean,
or does everyone know what it tastes like already?
I mean, like you mentioned, it's got this, it does, you know, when you said, once you said chalky, I can see it. There's that granite, you know, type thing going on, but it tastes like a nice weedy whip beer where it's a very estery hit.
Yeah. I think it also goes to show, you know, how as you're developing your palate, you don't have the same resolution of flavors, right? So what best I could taste then was kind of this, you know, the wheat, kind of just a porridge wheat kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And like now today I can taste all the nuances of, especially like the coriander and orange peel.
Definitely a lot of coriander.
Yeah.
And then the wheat, the yeast inspired kind of bubble gum that's in here a little bit.
What are you saying, Shannon?
The coriander, I can really taste the coriander today. I mean, we drink this a lot. And I just don't really pay much attention to the flavor. I know I like it, no, and a, I just open a, it, and it's a really I have decent it.
Drinker for that.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so happy when they came back to Pittsburgh because they were in Pittsburgh when we first got into the show. And then they, Pennsylvania is weird with wholesale, and it's a whole, like one wholesaler covers the whole state, but the state's so wide that wholesalers usually only cover Philly or Pittsburgh. So like the Philly person had Allagash for the longest time and it wasn't available here.
Things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Things have changed.
Speaking of Allagash, when are we going back?
Oh, I don't know. There's so many things we want to do.
I know.
But yeah, certainly we're going to have two beers from that trip. Or
I saw.
Are you going to be able to go to my improv show?
When is it?
Well, there are three upcoming. So the first one, sorry, I'm pulling out my calendar here. The first one is April, is this April? No, June 6th. June 6th.
That's the...
It's a Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I think that we had figured out because it's early.
Yes,
it's and I have something else going on in the evening, and we'd be able to actually go from that to that.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. And then I leave the next morning for Seattle.
Okay. The show after that is, let me be sure I'm right here, because 1, 2, 3, 4, the 11th, Saturday the 11th, is the first 401 show. We do two shows.
Nice.
This is when my sister is going to be there.
Okay.
That's in June as well.
That's July 11th.
July 11th. Okay. Yeah, I guess it would
and
have
then
to
be. The one after that is August 8th. My dad will be at that one.
Awesome. Yeah, well, I mean, as long as we're able to be free, we'll be there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I just had something I wanted to bring up, but now I've lost it.
Well, Jeff was just, like you said, at my place doing landlordy stuff. And we also use my lockpicking, quote-unquote, skills.
Yeah, that's it. I have a canoe trailer. I have two canoes, and they were still over at that place. We never moved them over here last year. And I got some more stuff. I still, in the shed, I still had some stuff over there. Still have a little bit more. But loaded up some stuff out of the shed. I'm like, I'll bring the canoes over. It's springtime. There's water's high on the Kiskey, the river that would live near us. Like, yeah. We could do some canoeing. Both my kids have been interested in doing a canoe trip, so... Yeah, I want to get this over. And then I got here and I actually got the second canoe from beside the house, put it on the trailer and go to hook up the trailer. And I'd like see the lock on the ball hitch. I'm like, shit, I haven't seen that key in a very long time. So I tore apart the truck, not in the truck.
Called me.
Like, do you happen to have any inkling that the key's like someplace in the truck that I might not have looked? And she said, no. So I texted Greg. I'm like, hey, I could use your lockpicking, but he was it was early and he wasn't up yet. And anyway, I taught a class at the forge and then went back over there. And Greg, you can explain about how difficult that lock was to defeat.
I heard it took hours.
Yeah, well, I mean, I hadn't seen the lock before and I wasn't aware of it, but I was like, because I did some brief exploring. And I was like, let's look this up because knowledge is always your best friend. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we just saw a lockpicking lawyer video on it and just like, oh, just, yeah, rake it. And I was like, okay, just try it. And raked it, and I think in 3 seconds. Yeah,
the lockpicking lawyer defeated it in about 1.3 seconds. And I think Greg defeated it in about 4 seconds.
Yeah.
So,
as I say, a low skill attack. So, yeah, that wouldn't, like, I would recommend if you're going to do a lock for one of those, get a detainer lock because those, you have to have specialized equipment to pick them.
Yeah.
Definitely people who can pick those, but I mean.
Yeah, I mean, but you also, that shitty lock still stops most of the opportunistic thefts of your trailer.
But.
And if you lose the key, it's easy to get into.
This is true. But when we go canoeing, we tend to have to, well, I guess that wouldn't make a difference. We have to leave the canoe, go.
The trip.
Well, we've had two vehicles. I don't know what we're going to do now.
Yeah, we'll figure
it
out.
We haven't done any canoeing with one vehicle.
Yep. Yeah, if you're not worried about the security of it, then you could use that.
Well, I was thinking because the canoes will be on the trailer and everybody else that's there is also, somebody
the trailer's
that's
always gonna be
a
on
water
the,
person. So.
The trailer's always going to be on the truck. It'll be locked in
right,
the truck.
Right. No, it's, yeah. It's that's the, why I was kind of stopping
There was
myself.
The one time where you had to stay with the canoe while I took.
Yeah, that sucks.
Because I forgot the bike chain, so I couldn't lock the canoe up.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had a car at the place where we landed, but we couldn't both go in the car to get the truck and the trailer because the canoe couldn't be secured. So she had to stay with the canoe. I had to take the car, swap vehicles, come back down with the truck, load up the canoe, and then go back to the start so she had to get in the car, you know, that kind of thing. So,
where
if I just had, if I had remembered a bike chain, then it would have been one whole less round trip.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, you need to store a lot of stuff in your pocket like me.
Yeah.
And can't really do a round trip on the Kiski.
Oh, paddle back up? No.
No.
You not on any river, really.
No.
Where do we want to start? Let's start with the Hill Farmstead.
We just started with the Allagash. What are you talking about?
Oh, where do we want to continue? That felt like a warm-up to me.
The Hill Farmstead.
Anna.
Again?
Did we do Anna?
I'm sure we
did. I thought we did.
Dude, we can skip Anna. I grab something. I got a couple beers in the fridge right behind me. I'll grab one of those.
Yeah. I know we've done Anna before.
I thought so when I wrote it down.
Ah, I'm sorry.
It's all right. Everybody makes mistakes sometimes.
I mean, Shannon and me less so. But.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's this one? What'd you grab?
This is, I think this is another Allagash. Let's see. It's called Harkness. It is from Portland, Maine by Rising Tide Brewing Company.
Harkness.
Rising Tide.
Okay. This is a spontaneously fermented ale. Interesting. I like the sound of that. 6.3%. Two row pale spelt and wheat. Aged in oak and French oak.
Mm. Try to give me equal amount this time.
Definitely a soury, probably Brett.
Mm.
Yep, bready, leathery.
Ooh.
Color is actually a little bit lighter than I would have expected. Typically, I think it's slightly darker, slightly more golden.
Yeah, it's a solid, straight up golden beer.
Mm-hmm.
That aroma's neat. There's a bunch going on there. It's a leathery thing. It's mm-hmm. a sweet, tarty thing. It's almost a little mushroomy, almost.
Strawberries.
Strawberries. Oh, tart strawberries.
I mean, like the yeast that's on strawberries.
Actually, now I'm getting like strawberry cream, like kind of like a weird, you wouldn't expect cream to come off of this nose, but.
They're, as we mentioned, these are Asian American and French oak.
Oh, so the vanilla could be.
Oh.
That smells good.
It smells like it should be a cake.
The Harkness sank January 16th, 1992, a 70-foot tugboat that foundered on a cold and windy winter night near Mantinicus Island, Maine. All three crewmen survived.
What's the ABV on this?
6.3.
I took a quick sip, way too cold to fully evaluate the beer, yeah. So we're wrapping our hands
Right out of the fridge, so yeah.
Yeah, we're wrapping our hands around the bowls of our Spiegelau Beer Tulips, which is the official glassware of Craft Beer Radio.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. The official, unofficial, they didn't pay us for it.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if they'd
like
to.
It'd be nice if they did.
But we did secure dozens of these glasses.
True. True.
But aren't we, don't we only have three left?
Yes.
Yeah.
They break occasionally.
They're not the sturdiest.
But it's weird that they break on the stem usually, not the bowl.
But they are quite good glasses. Yeah, when we were doing Savor, we would just grab.
Yeah, they would have different tastes just for everyone, Shannon and the people listening. They had different tasting. They called them salons. And you could go. And at a lot of them, they had the Savor logo glasses, which weren't Spiegelau. I think I forget the brand right now. They were decent glasses. But then there were certain ones sponsored by Spiegelau where they had these. And then, you could take your glass with you after the thing, but a lot of people didn't.
So we just took it for them.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do with them?
So, some of the Savors, we came home with, more than a dozen glasses.
It's true, because in a lot of those cases, you think they probably do just throw them away
Brewers Association's flying back to Boulder, Colorado. They're not using them.
Yeah.
Maybe if reuse was a priority, maybe, the Church Key, Blue Jacket, Greg's places in DC could get them.
They could get them, and you know, we have to go through and wash them and everything.
But I doubt reuse was such a priority.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I wouldn't feel bad.
Yeah, well, we didn't.
Well, it's not like we stole, like,
yeah, no, you didn't
ones.
Take.
We just took the ones that the ones other that were, people left yeah. behind, so.
Yeah.
Time for another visit.
Yep. Okay, Harkness.
Is it safe to drink now?
It can be a little warmer, but it's
really
it's
cold on the hands.
It's a heck of a blend. What is going on here? I guess first impression is kind of like an orange tart kind of thing. There's sweet tarts, strawberry.
I don't think it's tart at all.
No?
So the closest thing that's coming to me is a Flanders, right? That's
sweet tarts that's coming through. Yeah, it's kind of Flandersy.
With, you know, more, but like Flanders doesn't have bread in it, so it doesn't have this kind of leathery note and like mushroomy note.
Are you getting that on the flavor?
A little bit.
Okay, I'm not really picking that up yet. The nose, it was certainly there, but the flavor doesn't taste as kind of barnyard dusty as the nose had.
That second sip, it was a little more tart.
You liking it?
Oh, yeah. I do like it. I'm not able
I'm trying to
pick
to remember
out
which brewery
any...
was Rising Tide on the trip.
I know.
I think it was the one...
It said Portland, right?
Yeah, it's in Portland. I think it was... How do
we
I
hit
guess?
So many that day.
I don't know if I... I have one in my mind pictured, but I don't think any of the descriptions I'd give you would help, and it definitely wouldn't help anyone at home.
So this may be blasphemy, but I feel like this would be better if it wasn't Asian oak. I feel like the oakiness is knocking down brighter notes, and you get this kind of woody thing that replaces the sort of brighter, tangier notes that would be here.
Do you think it has anything to do with
the... It's pretty hard to have a spontaneous beer but not aged in wood, though, you know, because it needs the micro-oxygenation for maturation and stuff like that.
Well, I'm wondering, like, you can have it on it, but maybe...
Old barrels.
But not, yeah, old barrels, not...
I mean, these could be... it does taste like... I mean, there is some big vanillins in there, so there is some freshish, you know, wine barrel kind of oak in there, I think.
Do you think it's more pronounced because it's been in the bottle for 4 years?
It's been in the fridge most of the time.
Well,
fridge
I know,
is kind
but
of,
it's still sitting.
Yes, but the fridge definitely slows aging tremendously versus sitting in cellar temperatures. And I would expect it to get, I don't think anything would really fade. I think it would get oxidized. I think that would be the main thing that would change.
Yeah.
I don't think the wood would really change that much.
No.
Bitterness would drop a little bit, but this isn't a very bitter beer. It's not a very alcoholic beer, right? So it's not like you're going to get those kind of good barley wine kind of aging characteristics.
You use aged hops in here, so you're not going to get much in the way of...
Yeah, there's hardly any IBU in it anyway. Yeah.
I really like this. It's really easy to drink.
It feels like it's missing something to me. I don't know what it is. It feels like it's not as... Something about this, it feels like it's being held down.
So.
I mean, none of the flavors are very, nothing stands out.
Right.
Okay. So, and that's kind of what you're saying,
kind
I
of.
Guess.
It's more like I'm looking for a bit of a sharper tang of acid. A bit of a, just a, the best way I can describe it is brightness, because that's how I'd put it if it was a food dish. I'd be like, this needs... Some acid here, some like lemon juice or something, even though it's sour, but it needs something else to brighten up the flavor. And that's what I'm feeling is being knocked down by the woodiness here.
Well, that was today at Zwanzee Day, where Canteon was available at the Independent. That was today.
Oh, dang.
I missed it. So I got a text this afternoon from a friend who's like sent me a thing about how the Independent here in Pittsburgh is one of the places that's doing Zwanzee Day, which is where I do Canteon tastings. And it's like, usually at bigger cities. It's never been in Pittsburgh. And I'm like, oh shit, gonna have to look at that when I get home.
Well,
and that was too late. So,
but anyway, I do want to clarify here. This is plenty good beer. It's just like not perfect. Like, so like this is, I would totally recommend this beer. It's very tasty, very enjoyable. If I, but you know, in my, in my high tower,
I got you.
You know, where I can judge things and say so. Like, it feels like it could. There, if it wasn't aged on oak, I think it would have been better.
Yeah, I'm getting more apricot now. It's, you know, it's kind of having more of like a apricot cobbler kind of thing going on.
That's what I'm picking up.
Yeah, it's good.
It's apricot.
I like that focus on it. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, like an apricot jam on a piece of bread.
Very, very tasty. Yeah,
it is. Later. I like it. So, Greg, if you don't like it, that's okay. Just put it over here in this corner.
The let's see, beer news. I just saw today. So, there's a world famous beer bar in San Francisco called Toronado. They've been around for 30 some years, and the owner is looking to sell it. And for the last year, it was looking like a crypto bro or something was going to buy it and ruin it. But that fell through. And I guess one of like the regulars, a regular patron at the bar bought it. So hopefully like the legacy of Toronado will continue. I was there once, probably back in 2004, 2003. It's one of those bars where... they don't put up with your shit. Like if you don't know what you're ready to order, when they look at you, they just move on, and you're gonna have to wait till they come back.
I hate kind that of thing. Touristy shtick.
Yeah, I don't know. It was
be nice to your customers.
They're not mean, but
we had that one bartender that did that to me in Belgium at the hotel.
That guy was just a weird kind of antisocial.
Yeah,
no one else in Belgium was like that.
No, just him. But that's what it reminds me of. Now, I'm enjoying this. I mean, I still, like I said, it's not that tart, but I still think it's tart enough that I couldn't drink a lot of it without it tearing up my stomach a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, you wouldn't want this on a totally empty stomach with nothing else.
And I'm pretty much on an empty stomach.
Well, hurry up.
Get some crackers.
Chug it down. We're waiting on you. All right. I just realized there's two more spontaneous beers tonight.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Great. Nice. Thank you.
Awesome.
It's going to be a sour night.
This one's not, though. This is from Brasserie Terrier. This is Vertemont. It is a Genevieve aged in American gin barrels.
Genevieve. What does that mean?
Genevieve. Well, the beer is called Vertemont.
Vermont.
I thought it was Vermont.
Nope.
I just glanced at it. I thought it said Vermont.
I'm guessing it's Green Mountain in French, but I forgot to peel the electrical tape off of this one. I didn't see it, so give me one second here.
Okay. You just made me chuck
this is
that
so
beer.
Weird. I'm getting Brasserie Terrier. I'm getting a dog, an Australian Terrier puppies.
Thiriez.
Okay.
There you go.
Thiriez, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah.
Or thiriez.
Oh, I got corrected on the bus when I said threes.
Mm-hmm.
I was an ignorant yinzer. It's a gusher.
Woohoo.
Yes.
This one's in the.
Okay, so this is this with Hill Farmstead? Is that?
Might be. Maybe it is Vermont.
I think it is the one that's with Phil Harmstead.
Everything here is in French, so...
Just get your phone. If only we had a device that could translate it for us.
That's great for... I guess us just stabbing in the dark is also great
from what I'm telling you, that's something called Works of Love. So it's different. And that's what Vermont means.
I do believe that we got the one that they did with.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was, well, they might have collaborated with Hill Farmstead. Last show or the show before, we definitely did the Albaron that was a Hill Farmstead collaboration.
Oh, okay. That might be what I'm thinking about.
So this is a Belgian triple.
I love.
And it should have some juniper character, right?
I don't know. Is that what that is?
Yeah, because it's aged in gin barrels.
That's why I like the smell of it.
Oof. Wasn't expecting that, but yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's different than what I expected gin-wise. There mm-hmm. is the juniper, but it's kind of a richer, more molassesy version of juniper. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out what my nose is telling me, and that's what my brain words made. So, or, you know, some molasses, maybe like buckwheat or something like that.
Gin is one of those drinks that when I was younger, did not appreciate. Now I really love a good gin. It's hard to beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Empress, the Indigo gin, you've been drinking the hell out of that.
Well,
the one that
don't still, make it sound like I drank that, no. like so, a bottle the one a week that, or something. Is it up there?
The one that like changed my mind was the Castling Key gin. Oh,
yeah.
There's one up there, the top one. That one. And they had a spring thing. This is kind of a more reserve one. They had a spring one that was more like floral and like bright. And that one was so good too. Mm. That one's long gone.
I still have my stuff to make gin and I'm probably going to try some more, which, you know, basically just put in juniper and then put in some other botanicals mm-hmm. in vodka. Basically, because that's what, you know, it's a neutral mm-hmm. gin is basically a neutral spirit. Yeah. Then it's
when they make it, they don't steep it. They have it in the vapor column.
Right. So it's slightly different, but you're still mm-hmm. essentially, it's not going to be as amazing as a gin that is made mm-hmm. with the stuff, but it gets the job done.
I saw on How to Drink, the YouTube channel, he was making infusions, but he was doing it in an ultrasonic bath. The ultrasonic makes the infusion like work so much faster than a regular steep. So that's something to think about.
I do it in basically small quantities. Like it's like 350 milliliters mm-hmm. or smaller that it doesn't really take that long.
But no, you can do it like in a couple hours.
Yeah.
This tastes like gin.
I don't know when I need, I got to get gin right away.
This is good. This is really good.
I mean, so you said Belgian triple.
Yeah.
If it tastes like a Belgian triple at all, it's like the really like thick, meaty ones. Like, I don't know, like maybe like a Westmalle or something like that. But because it's like such a full body where triples normally have a thinner body kind of thing.
Well, triples normally, yeah, you're hitting that.
I was backing up too far. The
triples usually have this big sweetness to them mm-hmm. and they can edge on sickly sweet if you're not careful, I find.
Mm.
What this shares in common with all triples is high alcohol. This is 10%.
Yeah, 10%.
But yeah, this definitely has this kind of opens wide like a gin. So you mm-hmm. get this, you know, botanically, I don't want to say bright because I've been using that word too much, but open is the best way I can mm-hmm. describe it. It feels like a maw is open as you taste it.
Just like
kind of like a raisin kind of thing.
Raisin? No, I'm not getting raisin. To me, it just makes me think of walking through a field of wildflowers.
Yeah.
You know, it's the smell, what I'm tasting is what makes, it just takes me into that place.
I think of a really good martini.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, yes, use gin in your martinis. Do not make vodka martinis. Mm-hmm. Gin martinis, all the way.
Gin, I don't even drink vodka anymore, really.
This is such a good balance.
It is.
On this beer.
It knocks down the sweetness a lot. What scares me is how drinkable it is, and it's 10%.
I was just going to say, I want to marry this beer, but I don't know, it's
10%. It's only a 33-centiliter bottle, so.
But, like, it'll sneak up on you because it's so drinkable. Mm-hmm. Like, it goes down real easy.
It really does.
We can all just have a little bit more.
Oh, thank you. Gracias.
Not enough to save for later, so here we go. It's more yeasty now, so we'll see how that changed it.
Mm.
The yeast added a little bit more flavors in there. I don't know if it necessarily, like, it felt like more open without those extra flavors.
It
there's a cleanness to it.
It muddled it up a little bit, but it's not worse.
Right.
It's different.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might prefer it this way versus the other way.
But you poured mine first, didn't you? I mean, when you dished out that last bit.
I think you did you first.
I topped mine off first.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't see much of a change or taste much of a change. So.
Well, you're just not looking close enough.
I guess not.
I started seeing social media posts from 21st Amendment, and I'm like, they closed. What's up?
Mm-hmm.
Turns out Tired Hand, or no, Evil Genius, another Philadelphia area brewery, bought two of their beers, the Hell or High Water Melon Wheat and the Live Free or Die IPA.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been social mediaing the hell out of those brands over the last couple of weeks. And
interesting.
They're available.
I don't do social media at all. I mean, yeah. So.
But I was surprised. I'm like, why am I seeing 21st Amendment in the feed?
What are you social mediaing?
Instagram. Mm.
I mean, we have the bit gnarly barrel, yeah. So we kind of.
Facebooking.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
And then.
Shame to
be. I minimize it as
my,
much as.
My family, that's how I keep in touch. Or at least figure out what they're doing with their lives.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Wow, you had that one ready.
I really, really like this. Just did not disappoint. Did we have this one when we were there?
I think we did. Yeah, probably.
Because I remember having one of them and it stood out way above the other ones. And that was the little place that we had to walk to in the snow, right?
No, that was Alboron.
Oh, Alboron.
This was the one with where Derek brewed the beer.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, then I don't know.
This tasting was one of those things where they over-delivered on the promise because, like, we were only expecting to get, like, two or three tasters at this brewery tour.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wide open. I tasted everything they had. I tasted, like, 12 to 14 different beers, you know?
Yeah, so, isn't that the one that...
We walked to Alboron in the snow.
Okay.
That happened.
Oh, that did happen.
If that happened, I'd be like, oh, it's taking a while to load the song.
This is delicious.
Let's go to this local sour. Here we go. Dancing Gnome has a beer called Hodson.
Oh, wait.
They say oak aged ale here, but I thought it was, maybe it's not spontaneous.
Okay, let's try this. If that happened, I would. It's in my pants. Yay. Got to it.
All right. Hodson from Dancing Gnome Brewing Company. They're known for their hazies. They're known for their like lagers. I don't think I've ever had a soury beer from them before.
What's this called again?
Hodson 2025.
How do you spell that?
Hodson. Dancing Gnome. Sharpsburg, Pennsylvania.
I picked this one up. Well, I guess you told me to get
pick one of the, yeah, sour beers or whatever.
Okay.
I forget what they were advertised as, but.
And then I asked the bartender if they could get just one, which one?
Well, it is mixed fermentation golden ale aged 3 years in white wine barrels and dry hopped with, guess.
Citra.
Mm, no. Think white wine.
White wine. Oh, Nelson.
Yes.
I'm like, why'd I say mosaic? It's Nelson.
Hopped with Nelson Sabine hops.
All right. So it looks like a wit beer. Pours that kind of medium gold hazy.
Doesn't smell like a wit beer. I can't place the smell at all. I'm off
smells
tonight.
Super fruity. I don't see an ABV on the bottle. Text is really small, though.
I don't see the ABV.
Is that it right there? You still have, like, better than you still have 2010 vision?
6.2%.
At 49 years old, do you still have 2010 vision? Wow.
Well, I think it's more 2020 now.
Okay.
Yeah. But
6.2.
Yeah, it's weird. There are occasions when I'm like, I can't see as fine as it could before, but I could, yeah.
Lucky.
Yeah, no, I've lost. Well, I've lost that. So, like, look how small that is on there. Can you? The dark.
I mean, I've got my contacts in.
The dark little blob that might be text is what I'm talking about.
This down here on the bottom?
There.
Oh, 375 milliliters.
No, where the alcohol is.
6.2% ABV.
Maybe
375 milliliters.
I'm the only blind one here.
I think that you need to go get your eyes checked.
No, they're super clear for everything. I just, these by monofocal contacts don't work.
Oh, that's right. You're using them. That's the difference. You lose some of that.
Yeah. All right. So what do we got going on in this beer?
I hate touching my eyes, so I feel like contacts would be the worst.
Get used to it.
I do too, but man, it's the greatest.
Never had to use glasses. No, it's...
No, you're lucky.
Everyone in my family uses glasses. Everyone. Wow.
And you have eagle eyes. That's wild.
It's so weird.
I'm getting that same juniper type of...
I mean, it's fruity. I'm getting more of a citrusy thing, which I would have thought from like Citra hops or something, not from Nelson per se. But it's also been in an age for 3 years. The hop flavor should have faded significantly.
What was it aged in? White wine barrels? Is that what it said?
Yep. Just says white wine barrels, so we don't know which kind.
Smells like a Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, it was maybe, yeah, if you think of like some of the stone fruit flavors in a Sauvignon Blanc, maybe that's where I'm getting it from.
Yeah, it smells like a white wine to me. It smells like something like, not an oaky Chardonnay, but more like...
yeah, Sauvignon.
You guys, anything with like the stone fruit? Kind of like apricots, peaches, things like that?
Peaches.
Peaches more towards peaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't think anything is real strong. I think it's like the wine. It's just a very... Yeah. I haven't tasted it yet, but...
It's definitely peach on the...
On the nose, just...
On the tongue.
Take a sip. It has a really good balance. It's not too tart. Fruit is big again. Again, the fruit's kind of confusing. It's such a fruity thing, even though there's not fruit in it.
See, that's not what I was expecting.
It's got kind of orange blossomy thing going on.
Yeah.
And I'm still confused. Like, I still think that it tastes like a fresh, you know, tropical hopped thing that is also sour is what it tastes like. It's very confusing to me. But it's also very good.
It tastes like a kumquat.
Good.
A little bit.
It's very good.
It tastes like a kumquat.
I really like the balance on this one.
Yeah, this is a great, like...
The Harkness is more complex. I think this one has like an easy drinking balance to it.
I went to a show and one of the friends who was in 201 was there, and I was talking with her, and she had asked something about like, had I done anything like this in the past? And I stayed, talked about the beer show, and she said, "Oh, okay, tell me something about beer." And I was like,
"Something went blank."
Well, so I was like, you know, like I appreciated the gesture and like the idea, like, you know, hey, okay, cool, you know about beer, tell me something. And I was like, okay, everybody who's in here, there are like 80 people in here. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, I could find them a beer that they would like. That was my like that was my like way of saying, and I explained it more, but like, you know, beer has a lot more variation, a lot more character than most people expect.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I think, is a good example of a beer that would appeal to a lot of different people.
Absolutely. Like, perfect example. I know so many people that will go into a brewery, they don't really want to. My best friend is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. Doesn't like beer, likes wine. But anytime we go out, you know, we try to find a place that serves both, but usually they serve a large variety of good beer, but they don't necessarily have good wine. Usually it's not good at all. But if somebody went to a brewery that wanted wine, if I was bartending, I would say, if you like a Sauvignon Blanc, even a Pinot, which is a little sweeter, I would say this is what you should get. But I don't think it's as sweet as a Pinot. But
no, but I think that it satisfies those wine urgings, but at the same time, it is a beer and it has the beer qualities to it.
It does.
One thing that It was funny because Emma said, well, my wife is allergic to, I think it was something about beer. And I said, okay, well, I said I could find something that she'd like. I didn't say I'd find something that would be healthy for her.
Yeah, if you're going to have to go gluten-free, mm-hmm. for example, mm-hmm. I can't guarantee I'm going to give you a delicious Sorry. One. I might find something that's all right, but no, I can find anyone a delicious beer. But if you give me a stipulation like no barley or wheat, it's a little harder.
Yeah.
Dancy, no, man.
Yeah, this one's good. I think the thing I have to add about, you know, finding the beer for anyone at a brewery is, you know, unless it's like the best of places, they don't have a Cicerone or a sommelier kind of person curating for like taking up the challenge of let me find your next favorite beer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're not at a place that doesn't give you that experience, it's going to be way harder to make the connection.
Absolutely.
For the average person, especially like this beer at Dancing Gnome is one of the three things they have in single bottles at the end of the menu.
Yep.
They have 25 other beers on tap.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't going to make the connection with the person. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the tricky part.
But I mean, now I wasn't saying give me a beer. I did ask them, you know, of those three, it was just one bartender, not multiple. I said, of those three, which one would you recommend I get?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, absolutely, you should get this one, the Heron.
Well,
Hudson.
Hodson.
Hodson. Not Hudson. Hodson. My family.
How much was this one? Like $20, $22, something like that, I think.
I don't know.
It's also a little pricey mm-hmm. for a 33 centiliter.
It probably was.
Well, wine is pricey anyway. Like mm-hmm. If you were to go to wine almost anywhere,
yeah,
it's super pricey mm-hmm. and it's probably a better deal. What do you get here?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can get a
bottle
list
versus two glasses of wine. I think you'd come out better in the end.
This also like the,
and it's not as high alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one, I think this one, because of the tartness to it, it's more to me versus really good Sauvignon Blanc, right? This one is more complex, more engaging. I dig into it more. I drink it slower.
Mm-hmm.
Where Sauvignon Blanc, even if it's a super complex one of that, it's something I'll just kind of drink faster.
I don't know, dude. When you get a really awesome complex wine, it's amazing how much different it is than mm-hmm. like a 20 or 30 bottle.
Yeah.
Like if you get some, like I haven't had many experiences with amazing wines, but when I have, mm-hmm. it is eye-opening how much different it is and how, this is, I am sipping this in tiny little sips because that's all I'm getting.
I have to get a bottle of this for Joanne.
Okay. Do it.
It's
over 9,000.
What are you doing? What are you
There's
doing?
There's more there. I'm just here.
No, I'll hold it over here.
We're on the counter.
Don't shake it all up and get it all yeasty.
I'll put it over here close to me. It's fine. I'll take very good care of it, I promise. I can't promise that there'll be any for you guys, but I can promise I'll take good care of it.
How about we give you dibs, but let's get through the rest of these beers first.
But I have to tell you, so when you and I got together,
mm-hmm.
I was a wine drinker and not a beer drinker. And
when we got together, that fateful night in Seattle.
It's a secret. Oh, yeah.
Oops.
Actually, it was after that. Anyway. You introduced me to, which one was it? Is that that chocolate, the tart? The one that tasted like a dessert.
It was the Prantl's Almond Tour.
Yes, Prantl's. And
what brewery was that? It was Platform Beer Company.
It was at Stokes.
There was a brewery out of Cleveland called Platform, and they did some really cool stuff. They got bought out by private equity, and they drove that directly into the ground. But one of the collaborations that they did was with a local bakery that does this almond tort cake. I broke the cork.
Oh, no.
It's okay. It didn't fall into the beer.
If only we had a really good wine bottle opener right behind you.
I'm not sure. It won't fit over the thing, probably. Mm. It's a champagne bottle.
So
what is this beer that you're attempting to open that has both a bottle cap and a cork?
That's what they do in Belgium with these lambics. I didn't finish. This is from Dust Blending. This is Figgy.
Could you spell that out?
Figgy, F-I-G-G-I-E, from Dust Blending. This will be the first dust that we've opened since we got back from Belgium, baby.
Yeah.
This was a really cool story. I told this before. I'm going to say it again real quick because I just want to. When we were in Bruges, we went on that trip where we went to Tyria and everything. And when we got back, I set up this kind of side quest to this place. It was this place with no sign. They opened up just for us. And it's a lambic blendery. So they buy their lambic either unfermented or fermented from other places and then do their own blending and whatnot. The place was, they were so hospitable. They were super cool. If you're in Bruges, email them. And because they're not open.
Next time you're in Bruges.
They don't have hours. Here's the point. They don't have hours.
Mm-hmm. No.
You have to email them and set up an appointment, but do it.
And they will answer you.
This is 6.5% alcohol by volume. Just trying to find more information.
They're out. Yeah, there's probably almost nothing.
I mean, they don't even have a sign.
Yeah.
We walked right past it.
It was a steel door when we walked. We scouted it the morning before just so when we took the group, we wouldn't look like idiots. And
then the running joke inside, which we probably told him.
Okay, I finally found something that may be some information here.
Was this is where we're going to die? That we're going to be murdered.
Like a kill room, right? Like it a butcher kill room or something. Uh-huh.
That's pretty funny.
Barrel aged so nice. Saison / lambic blend plus rosehip lambic with fresh fig leaves.
Ooh. Yeah,
that's it.
Belgium Saison.
Figgy. Saison. They have great artwork on their bottles. This is I'll have to put a picture up on the Discord. So that's
an anthropomorphic bird without arms, but with like human feet. But it also has, instead of a beak, a tap.
A faucet.
A faucet tap that's dripping water.
Let me look at it again because I just saw a bird, but I would glance at it. Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's nightmare fuel.
That's an awesome,
all right,
awesome label.
Funky, funky on the nose.
That is wild.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm getting like nettles almost. Like that's.
No.
Yeah.
That's full on.
Full on.
But it's almost like.
That's a blunt right there.
You think so?
Absolutely. That's a blunt.
I'm getting this leafy thing almost like raking fall leaves kind of thing.
No, I smell blunt.
No. I smell leafy. Very leafy.
Well.
But not, not resiny.
It is fig leaves, not, you know, and I'm like, it smells like a pile of like raked fall leaves.
Oh.
But on top of that, it's on top of this very Brett kind of barnyard thing.
They're fall leaves mixed.
Leathery.
A bunch of farm manure and
there's some of that because there is that like barnyard
it smells so good. I love it so much.
I mean, the way I'm describing it probably sounds like I don't like the smell of it, but I actually do.
Oh my goodness,
it smells alive in the way that a barnyard smells.
Yeah,
like that there's stuff going on.
I mean, when I go to a farm and I go into a barn, it's my favorite thing. So
the flavor brings something you're not picking up in the nose at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I'm just going to continue.
Yeah. Is it tobacco?
Kind of.
Well, I mean, that's the smokiness of the blunt. Okay, maybe not blunt, but the burning leaves, right? No?
Hmm.
I haven't tasted it yet.
Take a sip and taste it then. but it has the fig leaves have this kind
like
of
prunish, like yeah, like yeah. in that area.
Figs are prunes, mm-hmm. and it's pretty sour, but it balances a bit with that kind of fruity character.
I'm pretty sure I've never made this expression.
And actually, it is pretty figgy. Like when you do like a, if you have like a, I'm thinking of like the fig jam that you might get with a fancy meal, like yeah. put on meat or something. Like it's kind of like that fig jam kind of flavor.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is that figness. Mm-hmm.
This would go really good with lamb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Rack of yeah. lamb. I think it really would.
Lamb or goat either.
Well, no, not for me, but lamb. Yeah.
Why not?
Well, I don't like goat cheese, so I don't want to try goat. Plus, I love goats. So
goats I love goats cool. too. They're delicious.
Yeah. No, but I love all these animals that I still eat.
I mean, mutton, you love cows and you eat them almost there, know, all the time.
Mutton as well. This would go well with mutton. Or should just
with
male.
What?
Mutton is male, you know. Male sheep. Yeah. Sheep.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So this one is, it's the tartest of the sour beers by far tonight.
It is.
But it balances with that fig leaf thing, which brings fig flavor, which is surprising because you would almost expect from the aroma, I was expecting something more like Greek grape leaves or something like that. Right. But no, fig leaves are like fig Newtons almost. Like it.
I mean, it shouldn't surprise you as much as, here's the problem. As
the name is figgy.
Figgy, mm-hmm. yeah. As, you know, culinarily, we tend not to use things like stem. You know, when we do urban stuff, we use leaves or we use, you know, just the fruits. But it turns out the stems and all that other stuff has plenty of flavor in it. And, mm-hmm. like, it, you know, you're totally missing out if you don't, like, add, like, cilantro stems and stuff to your yeah. things. So
similar to that, you know, up in our woods, there's some gas pipeline maintenance going on. So they cut down a bunch of my trees. And I'm trying to mill some of those into wood that I can use.
I saw your pile and today.
Nice. Cutting up the cherry, it doesn't smell just like cherries, mm-hmm. but they're not fruit tree cherries. They're wild cherry, but cutting that up, it still has this like fruity cherry-esque kind of smell. Like it just kind of permeated the whole area and I was yeah. sawing it. It was pretty wild.
This is going to be rough tonight because there's not a single beer that we had.
Yeah,
there's no kills. How are we going to kill one of these?
I can't kill one.
It's hard to find a win. Like it's hard to find something good to say, and there's rough where it's hard to find something bad to say.
Yeah,
and we're in that.
This is. I mean, I poured us pretty small samples because I knew we were like piling on the sour, but like this is our potion.
We still have another one to go. And,
here's where the brightness that I was missing mm-hmm. in the other one is. So you
yes,
feel that?
No, you're right. Yeah.
I mean, like more crisp acidity kind
yes.
of thing, kind of that mm-hmm. kind of washes mm-hmm. the
yeah.
breath. Like you're getting more of a acetic thing that kind of washes that kind of earthy breath off your tongue, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
It feels more fresh. It feels like mm-hmm. more right there as opposed to behind some sort of obfuscation, behind a wall of some yeah. sort.
Yeah.
Damn, this is delicious.
Again, if you're doing
delicious,
your belt
and with a unique twist, which is also yeah. awesome.
Yeah. I'm so psyched that this beer is so good, but like, I'm like giddy with like, oh, I made that happen.
Like, you did.
And it was
you
so
did.
Cool.
You did.
Cause like, this is
Brittany, bitch.
It's a gem. It really is. And the experience was a gem.
It was.
Dust blending in Bruges. Mm. Go do it.
You must.
I mean, geez, this beer is 100% indication that everything that you did there was the right mm-hmm. move.
Got two other dust, I think two other from dust blending. It's also the place where I bought the gray market West Veletrin, which was bad. So
yeah. Yeah. But these made up for it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they were so good there.
I'd rather have this than another Westie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I don't think Westies are that. I'm just like, yeah.
Maybe they can
be. I mean,
be,
we had a fresh one there. And
I mean,
it's not a bad beer. It's just, this is more interesting.
Oh, yeah. It's just more complex.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Totally.
Ooh, bad to the bone, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So good.
So I've been...
I have no idea how I'm going to rate things tonight.
I know, Greg, you're probably going to, like, hate, you know, just hate me for bringing this up, but I've been using...
I already do. Yep,
hate me exactly. today. Exactly.
Been using some of our new AI to help, like, get the show's back episodes and stuff kind of transcribed and things like that. And it's amazing to me how much better it's gotten, like, month after month, month over month.
No, that makes sense.
And, but like today, this morning, I had it, I was trying to use a new API, which would take our old shows and do, they call it diarization, where it would indicate the, it would do transcriptions, but also split out the speakers. And then I told it, based on one of the shows where we did the multi-track upload and has the speakers, based on their patterns and mannerisms, give me your best estimate on which one of, like, these speakers is who is who, right? And it did a really good job. I did a bunch of spot checks, you know, so it was really cool how, like, just vibe coding, like, that kind of...
I'm all about vibe coding tools. Is vibe coding applications where I get...
Oh, yeah. But no, vibe coding this tool where it's like, okay, you know, first off, help me figure out how to do the derization model properly, because I kept getting errors and it figured it out. And then it's like, okay, now that you can do that, can you figure out whether speaker A, B, or C is Jeff, Shannon, or Greg based on these annotated transcripts? And it did a really good job at it.
Keep in mind that... You know, they're building more and more data centers so the AI can become more and more, and, you know, to use more and more resources to get better in what it's doing. And we're not paying for that right now.
Yeah.
So enjoy it while it lasts, this period of time where you're being able to enjoy AI getting incrementally better at doing things.
Except for Alexa.
On Apple.
No comment.
Apple sucks too.
But like, this is a weird period that we're in, because at some point the chicken of how much this costs is going to come home to roost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, my freaking work is telling me to go all in on AI and just get more shit, get as much shit done as possible.
Just make a lot of tools. That's what I've been doing.
Now I've fallen into the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I found that. Yeah,
amazing.
I can totally make tools to do stuff. If I ask it to program actual stuff for my application, it's dog shit at it. If I ask it to make tools to do things that are tedious or things that, you know, I'd rather not do, it's kind of great at doing those things. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I don't know. My job, so I'm not really writing a giant application, right? It's more of just...
I barely write code anymore. I just look at people's code.
Well, but what my job has turned into is managing a dozen agents, but then code review. Like, all of us.
Yeah,
are just,
that's me. It's code review.
It's just code review is all we do. And most of the code review is written by agents now. So.
And now he's built an agent for me.
I did.
Well, you built an agent for me, and now I'm building upon it.
Yeah, I wanted to see if I could make something that works really well for admins, because the admins are going to build it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so Shannon's kind of piloting some of the things we're doing, and couple kinks I want to work out before I kind of give it to more people. But I don't know.
It's been pretty damn good for the last week.
What do we got here, now? Jeff?
This is from Bald Birds Brewing in North Central Pennsylvania. Is it Jim Thorpe? No, it's Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania, and this is Birds Reserve Imperial Stout. It's only 14.2% ABV. That's it. Just
what?
14. Just 14.2.
Holy moly.
Based on the aroma, I think this is going to be one that you're going to like.
Who's going to like me?
Oh, Jeff. Fuck yeah, man. Fuck yeah.
Wait. Read the description again, because
I don't think we read it the first time. Okay.
What is it?
What a difference a year makes. I don't have enough light. Yeah, read that.
What a difference a year makes. After aging for 1 year in used bourbon barrels, this stout is full of woody, vanilla-esque notes alongside aromas of toffee, espresso, and rich chocolate. The roasted barley malt used in this brew imparts a smooth, velvety finish you'll find surprisingly sippable.
Surprisingly sippable.
This is a blend of stout aged in Heaven Hill barrels for 1 year. Because a blend.
Heaven Hill barrels.
Mm-hmm.
Smells, I mean, it's boozy.
14.2%. 14.
Yeah.
This is a wine.
Kind of like fire roasted marshmallows is kind of the first like different thing I'm getting. The first like,
I was thinking that the last Imperial Stout we had in the last show, I was like, that's the burned marshmallows, right? That was the thing that I liked.
Okay.
I guess yours is you're roasting them. Well, so it's different.
I like the straight up, you know, Russian Imperial, like the boozy, raisiny, oaky, chocolatey things. And this has, but on top of that, this has that marshmallow.
It's a big molasses thing going on here.
There's raisins
You're
already drinking it?
Absolutely.
I'm still sitting here.
Chris Walken in it. Wow. There's like a Mexican chocolate cinnamon thing on the flavor.
Ooh. Oh, my favorite thing about Mexican chocolate is the texture.
Oh, this is fucking tits, man.
Wow.
Holy shit. You take a sip yet?
I just took a sip.
It's a thing.
I'm still trying to digest this in my brain. This is really good.
Let's see where you're coming from. Mexican chocolate.
No. Uh-huh. Mexican chocolate. Yeah.
It also does have a bit of the astringency that I like in there, but it's so sweet that it doesn't. Mm-hmm.
It's got a cherryness to it.
It's really, very, really viscous. Like,
So this is like Mexican chocolate Dark Lord.
Yes.
Yeah.
You never had Dark Lord. You don't know what we're talking about. Dark Lord is a beer from Three Floyds that was back in the heyday was the first or second best beer behind West Veletrin. It was the second beer behind West Veletrin on Beer Advocate.
Yeah.
From Three Floyds.
It's fine.
We had some that was transcendental and we had some that were like, why do people like it?
This is
the same thing we've had with West Veletrin. It's very similar.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we ever had Transcendental from West Veletrin. We had like, this is solid as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And if no one ranks it down, that's why it floats to the top.
Yeah,
that's what I would say about West Veletrin. Where Dark Lord, we've had it two or three times. The first time we had it, it was thin, it was mediocre. Then the second time, we had it with, the sludge.
That's right.
Where it poured like a melted milkshake. And that was fucking awesome. Mm-hmm.
Really?
When it has this viscosity to it, like this does, where you know, it's just, it feels luscious. It feels silky, right? It's different. It hits different.
I remember when
where
I was deciding.
Where did we get this?
Last year on the way to Maker Camp.
Oh, my God.
It's by Julie's.
Oh.
Can you believe that my soundboard site fails?
Remember that
site
big
fails?
Blue warehouse? The big blue warehouse? Brewery. Mm. We're the only ones there sitting at the bar with Layla Cooper inside.
Yeah.
Remember that? Okay.
Is that where we played the games?
No. We were there in the middle of the afternoon. We were like the first people there.
Mm.
I don't remember what I paid for this, but I do remember wondering if it was worth the purchase. Because it was like, they didn't have it on tap, so I couldn't taste it. So it was probably like $25 or more for this bottle.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
But I do remember thinking twice about, like, what if this is a shithole, you know? Like,
Jersey Shore.
You run into that whenever you're exploring, right? I mean, that's going to be it's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, so, here we can talk about, you know, why is there a town not
near Jersey Shore?
Not near New Jersey, named Jersey Shore in Pennsylvania.
I think we had this conversation on the show.
Feel like, but that it could have been a post-show conversation.
Was it?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a river there.
Before you tell me.
Yeah.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
I want to know why!
So, when I was doing the transcription, let me go to this real quick. I was doing transcription. And it said there were six speakers. And I'm like, what six do you mean speakers? Six different speakers, right? And it said, one of the speakers only said one thing. And it said, you're tearing me apart, Lisa. So, yeah. And then it realized it was your soundboard. Like, that must be Greg's soundboard. So, like, it's building up this whole, like, profile of, like, what we are like on the show. Like, AI is fucking scary sometimes. It's also stupid other times.
It's a combination. I mean, it's a really powerful tool that we have access to that we probably shouldn't.
Oh, I wouldn't say that we shouldn't have access.
No, because it takes so much power. And to use that, like, it really should be reserved to like universities at top levels who have these things.
Well, that's what corporations want you to. They want to be first mover. They want to give you. They'll spend the money to give you the tools. Mm-hmm. They also want you to be able to use the tools. So, like, that's why I'm using it for craft beer radios.
Yeah,
it's just my personal account, but I get access
actually
to
it's mine.
We use both of them, but I get access, and it's not specifically like, it's not, you know, quad opus 4-6, 100 million tokens kind of access, but like I get that because they want me to be fluent in how to maximize my productivity with AI and shit like that.
Yeah. When this bubble bursts, we're not going to have access to quite as powerful AI as easily, I think. I feel like.
But then we're ours. Yeah.
And at the same time, I also think that, like, there's definitely a limit to how far the LLM model can go.
I'm going to be like, sorry, company, I atrophied all my other skills because I did what you wanted me to do. So give me my tokens. I spent, in the last 2 weeks, 2.8 billion tokens.
Wow. That's a lie.
I told you my job is managing interns, virtual interns.
That also explains why we're able to get such good, like, results on stuff.
2.8 billion tokens in the last 2 weeks.
That is a costly sum. Like, for example, we're using Cursor at work, and we have access to, like, I don't know, like, there's like $100,000 for the entirety of all our devs.
I might have spent $30,000.
Yeah. Hey, almost. I mean, like, you are in a company that basically sells them, so you're selling them to yourself, so it's fine.
Yeah.
It's different when you're don't have.
But over those 2 weeks, I got.
I mean, you're improving what we're doing and making. I mean, it's.
Oh, there's. I mean.
Going
so I switched.
To change.
We can talk about this more in the post show. I don't want to get too deep now. True. But I switched to a different thing that we offer, and it is a light year ahead of what I was using before. And I used it to organize our backlog, find all the low hanging fruit, fix all the low hanging fruit with just prompts. Like it was honestly. Was it 6 months worth of bullshit work that would have never got done because it's bullshit work?
Mm-hmm.
And I did it in 2 weeks.
It's great at bullshit work because people put all their bullshit work that they've done and all their explanations for how to do it on the internet.
Yeah.
And this is a great search engine to do that.
Yeah. But, you know.
And when people stop figuring out stuff and putting it on the internet, it's just going to atrophy and not be good at
that's
stuff
a good
at all.
Point. Over the last 2 weeks, I've run out of bullshit work. So now, like, the number of pull requests I'm going to do is going to be down.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The tech debt that I solved in 2 weeks is tremendous. So,
yeah, no, there's good things and bad things to say about AI.
There's only good things to say about this beer.
Oh,
you like that segue? It was a good segue.
That was a really good segue, actually.
Wow, wow, wow.
This is
nice.
The Bald Birds.
And that was the
birds
sixth
reserve.
Voice on the show.
Wow, wow, wooey. Oh, man. Best Imperial Stout I've had in a very long time.
I mean, I don't...
Okay, here's my mark against it.
Yeah.
It's 14%.
If I had a mark against it, I would like a little less sweet in the middle of the taste.
Mm-hmm.
But
I feel like, and I feel like that's partially because it's 14%, right? I mean...
Well, I actually want the booziness to come through a little bit more. I want a more a bit whiskey vibe on it, actually. And the taking the sweetness out would do that a little bit.
But hey, if you take the sweetness out, you're going to lose the alcohol because that's where the alcohol comes from.
Look how coating that is, man.
It is.
It laces the glass for sure.
Oof. All right. Do you want to start?
Yeah. Well, here we go.
I think this is one of those that we would have to have the camper sitting in the parking lot for the night.
Yeah.
For sure. I wouldn't be opposed to spending $25 on a bottle of that. So yeah, could get a couple bottles. I spend $25 on worse things all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So start.
I don't even know how to because
it was, you know,
dang it, man. They were all.
Was it the second law of craft beer radio or the third? The better the beers, the better the show.
I feel like that's probably the second.
This is going to be a really good show.
Wow. No, it's one of the laws. Which one is the pumpkin beer law?
That's the first law of craft beer radio. The idea of a pumpkin beer is always better than the actuality of a pumpkin beer is the first law of craft beer radio. Second law is the better the beer is, the better the show. And I think we had a third law at some point. Jesus Christ.
Okay.
I didn't even rate this one yet. The one that we're drinking right now, I can't even rate because I've rated the other one so high.
You need to invent new letters.
I think it's
Omega.
Frankly,
put an Omega in there.
It's frankly in the right order for me. Allagash.
Okay.
Hard Luck Loser.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Harkness. Excellent. Felt like it was not missing something. Mm-hmm. The Vertmont, the gin stuff, really cool, interesting. Dancing Gnome. You got this cool wine thing going on. I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
Bird's Reserve. Again, really like it. 14%, a little much. That is the only thing that I can, level against.
Too damn boozy.
Yeah. And then this Dust, which was just fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
I just need to say up front that these rankings don't matter because they're all fantastic. Mm-hmm. And yeah, trying to find a reason to rank one below the other is super hard because you could look at it through a different lens and it would change the rankings completely. I can't disagree with Greg. Maybe I'd switch to Harkness, but it's not worth me reaching over there to move the bottles. So I'm just going to go with Greg. Harkness, Allagash in sixth place, Harkness in fifth place, Vertmont in fourth place. I'm saying this out loud so the AI can figure out the rankings. Mm-hmm. Hodson in third place.
See, the AI is not great for everything.
Bald Birds Reserve in second place. And Dust Blending Figgy is the beer of the night. That dang, man. That beer. And there's so much left. We're going to have such a good time
singing karaoke. I know. So I can't see the bottles, but it's fine. So in last place, it's fine. Allagash, sorry. And then Rising Tides, Harkness.
Mm-hmm.
Harkness is number, how many do
That'll
we
be
have?
Five.
That would be number five. And then we would have, I rate them A, B, C, mm-hmm. and then I have A plus. Well, I never went below B. So mm-hmm. I just have a bunch of plus signs after A's. All right. So, the Vertmont
mm-hmm.
is
the
number which
four.
Yeah, that makes me sad. Do they even say that?
Excellent. Even the Allagash.
I feel so bad.
It should make you happy because we had this is a lineup for the ages, right?
Yeah. And then I'm going to say the
Hall of Famers.
Dancing Gnome Hodson is going to be number.
That's a correct answer.
What? Three. Ever three.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to be the Bald Birds.
Uh-huh.
That's number two. And Dust Blending's Figgy is number one.
Yes, we did.
Did we all?
Just made a Voltron.
Because I wasn't looking at the bottles. Is that what you guys did too?
That's exactly the order we were rolling.
We made a Voltron.
Wow. Hallelujah.
I'm Batman.
All right.
We
are
gods among men.
We're going to be killing the fuck out of alligators.
I know.
This isn't nice.
That's not, like, I feel.
Yeah, but I mean, like hey, someone's got to die.
Yeah, he walked into the alley at the wrong time. Poor guy, Rob Todd, walks into the alley and now he's dead.
As I said, these are all excellent beers.
So bad.
All right.
I feel so bad.
I'm going to marry the dust. I'm going to fuck the bald birds and I'm going to kill the Allagash. I mean,
I don't think any other answer is wrong.
You're going to fuck the bald birds.
Yeah.
And you're going to marry...
Yeah, and fuck the dog birds at 14.2%.
And marry which one?
I'm going to marry the dust, the figgy.
The dust.
Oh, you're marrying the dust.
Because the figgy is always going to be...
I was going
to
fuck the dust.
You can. You can do what you want.
Yeah, do what you want.
It's just the wrong answer.
I mean, no. I can do what I want. So I was going to... Well, obviously, I
have
to.
I like turtles.
I love turtles. But... I'm going to have to kill the Allagash and breaks my heart. I'm going to marry, though, the Vertmont.
Oh.
Vertmont.
Green Mountain.
I'm not going to be.
But I had already made that decision before I had the bald. Birds brewing.
By the way, I just want to point this out.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. I just want to interrupt you. Yeah. I would say, you know, I'm not going to get hung up on pronunciation. Uh-huh. I've heard people say pronunciation, and it bugs the shit out of me.
I would like to pronounce.
I totally try not to get hung up on pronunciation because it's not a thing. But I'm hung up with the pronunciation.
Did I say?
No. I've heard it from other people, and I've just the pronunciation.
I was gonna say the pronunciation.
Why am I hung up on
that? No, that would annoy the hell out of me. I would want to correct people all the time. It would be really hard for me to keep my mouth shut.
It's not wrong.
But it is
English.
Pronunciation.
It's pronunciation.
It's English. No. It's not wrong. Languages evolve. It doesn't matter. But, that's the thing. And as much as it hurts your brain.
If you were sight reading, it'd be pronunciation.
Yes. No.
No?
No, because I think there's a letter missing. I think so.
Is there?
No, it would be pronunciation.
There's no letter missing for pronounce.
It would be pronunciation.
Okay, never mind. Yeah, it would be.
If you were sight reading, it'd be pronunciation.
Pronunciation, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still hate it. You're allowed to hate it.
And I would hate it too.
It's the weirdest thing that I have gotten away from getting hung up on pronunciation for a lot of things, except for
pronunciation.
Pronunciation.
I'm going to start saying... Greg, how do you
pronunciate? It just ended the question mark right there. Don't put in the next word. Yeah. Just stop there.
Well, that's the other thing. When I'm like, I used to get hung up in things that are not words, and that's bullshit too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you convey a message? Yes, and then it's a word.
Yeah.
So, all right. I had made my decision before we had our last beer, and that was not a fair thing for me to do.
You should reassess.
So I need to reassess. And I am going
to... You're a modern woman. You can marry whoever you want.
I am...
Do it.
What'd you say?
So you're a modern woman. You can marry whoever you want.
I've done that.
Do it.
I've definitely done that. I am going to... marry the, I don't know what y'all said you were going to do. I haven't had anything to eat today.
I can tell. Just let's get through it.
It's all
we're almost
all right,
there.
So
the finish line's right there.
I'm fucking, fuck the Allagash. Sorry.
You're killing it.
Right.
Fucking killing it.
Right, fucking killing it. I'm marrying Dust Blending's Figgy, and I'm going to fuck the bald birds.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy that we all matched on
is that
everything.
What you said on that one too? All right. Did you already do your marry, fuck, kill?
Yeah.
See,
Eat some crackers.
I'm buzzed. I need food.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort.
I love that. You didn't have to stop it.
How could this happen to me?
Soundboard battle.
Love that.
It's me, Mario.
Yeah,
you got the internet. I got just the ones I loaded on here.
No, I have the ones I loaded on here. I don't have the whole thing. Just stuff like, you know. That's a good one. That's a very good one.
That should have been the beginning
Smoke
of the Mary
weed
Fuck
every
kill.
Day.
Do that.
I mean, the Mario one. That's about it. And, oh.
That's for the kill.
Ooh.
That's me trying to make a decision on what I'm going to, I'm going to rank
now
these beers.
We're just being stupid. So
yeah.
We are.
We should wrap this up. We'll do a post show. Tune in to the post show.
I'm going to make some popcorn.
If you don't know what the post show is, go to the website and subscribe to the post show feed.
Yeah. Just get on our Discord,
There's a whole other show where we don't talk about beer. We talk about TV and science and
random
religion and I don't know.
Kids.
AI. How AI is going to destroy the planet. And
kids.
AI. All right. Later, Gator.
See y'all.
We need some music. Got some music? Play some music.
Yeah. The end of the song.
Yeah, we got some music to play. Hold on.
Just hang out
for a second. While
the end of American Cars.
Just hang out for a second. Don't leave yet. Don't stop the podcast.
Don't leave.
Oh, my God.
YouTube is being bullshit. Don't.
Greg's under pressure.
Dun, dun, dun.
Under pressure.
Thanks for CP3A.